friends, and welcome back to The Sesh. I am Kendall.
And I am Janelle. And today we are giving you guys advice.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
You asked for it. Well, I actually don't even know if you guys asked for it, but we wanted to do it.
No, they totally did.
Yeah, that's true. You guys like when you guys can submit questions or advice questions or whatever.
Yeah, we got plenty of responses. I think they asked for it.
True. And you guys loved our sex advice one, so we wanted to open up
The floodgates.
The flood. Yeah. Thank you. That sounds really gross.
Open up the floodgates.
Yeah. It sounds oddly sexual.
Yeah. I was going to say it sounds really sexual. But anyways, we're opening the floodgates to cover topics that have to do with anything and everything.
That's right.
And we got some good submissions. Carly went through them. And yeah, we're excited.
Yeah. We're going to be helping you guys out, hopefully. I mean, hey, we're not professionals in any field.
So no,
this is just true advice. Like if you went
Correct.
To a friend,
right,
and you just ask them what they think,
exactly,
you know, take it or leave it.
Right.
You might think it's terrible advice, and that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, but
it
maybe
might be terrible advice.
Maybe it'll inspire you to do the opposite of what we're telling you to do. I don't freaking know.
Maybe it'll be really good advice that really helps you solve your problem.
Shit. Maybe we should charge for our advice.
Like on Cameo or something.
On Cameo, that'd be kind of iconic.
Oh, what's boy. The deal with Cameo?
Dude, Cameo's so cool.
I bought you those Cameos for
your
birthday.
I know. I love
Who
them.
Who did I get them from?
From the Mooch.
Oh, yeah.
Then Kevin from Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Who
Kevin
is like my
Schuller.
Favorite guy ever.
Schuller.
I love him so much.
Yeah, he did such a great job.
He
with
did.
That.
He was such a little act. It was so great.
So when you post a Cameo, does it go to everyone, though?
No. It just sends to that person.
Oh, I thought it was like posted to their feed.
No. I think you just get it sent to you. It's like your own private little message.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe you should do Cameo.
Maybe.
Charlie will do Cameo.
I think the H3 guys are on Cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are.
Some of the producers.
Yeah, I wish Ethan was on it, but he's not. But like AB is, Zach is, Ian is.
Ooh, I would like one from Zach.
I know, right?
Play me a little song.
I know, it'd be lit. Anyways, welcome back. It's just us two.
Yeah.
This is the first time in a few weeks. Feels good to be back.
Yeah, it does.
Us.
It was a minute that we had a bunch of guests. We had two episodes in a row. If you guys didn't catch them, of course, they're linked below or whatever, linked on our channel.
Yeah.
That was some interesting people that we had
on.
It was very...
It was a really cool experience.
Thought-provoking.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. After each episode, Ken and I were both like,
Yeah.
I feel like our minds were like...
Especially with Alyssa, I could just listen to that girl talk all day.
I know.
Like, she's just... Her mind.
I know.
The things she says.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just like, wow. Your words are poetry.
Wow.
I was like brain dead after meeting with her.
I was just like, duh. In like the best way possible. But yeah, same.
And I felt kind of bad that I barely talked on my own show.
Oh, I know. I kept thinking that too. I was like, say something, Janelle. And all I could say was interesting. It was so fucking annoying. When I was listening back, I wanted to punch myself in the face.
So she's just so, and her mind moves so quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost hard to keep up with her. So it's like a lot of work to follow what she's saying and absorb it all. It actually made me tired.
Yes.
And we were all tired after that.
Oh, yeah.
We all went to sushi after and we were all exhausted.
Yeah, we were.
She's awesome.
It was awesome.
And you guys loved her. So we'll definitely have to have her back out on the show sometime. I'm thinking after the baby comes, I want her to come read her chart.
That would be really cool. She said
really
she'd come back. So,
yeah.
And then there were like things that we wanted to get into too, like numerology and stuff that we just
did not have time for.
So, yeah, she'll definitely have to come back on the show.
Yeah, numerology is an interesting
I don't know anything
situation.
About it.
I don't know much about it either.
So it's like,
I just know I'm a life path number 3. I don't really remember what that means.
Is that based on your date of birth, basically, or your number or name?
Your name and your date of birth.
Oh.
The letters in your name, something like that.
Well,
yeah,
shit.
I took a little like free quiz thing online at one point and I came back with a 3, but maybe I was wrong. I don't know.
But that's not the same as the what's that? Enneagram. That's not the same as that though, I'm assuming, right?
No, I don't think so. I think that's different.
Isn't anagram or amagram, whatever
Enneagram.
Isn't that a personality test?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so it's not the same. Right. All right.
Very different.
Very different. Never mind. Ignore me.
But anyway, how's life been for you in the past couple weeks? We haven't really got to do a life update.
No, we haven't had a life update. Life's been pretty good. You know, just vibing, working. Yep. I'm going on a trip in a few weeks, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Getting excited for that. And yeah, what about you? How's baby? What sizes, baby, this week?
Oh, yes. We have our fruit or vegetable of the week. We've got a banana here.
That is a very ripe banana. I know. Probably eat that.
I know. I don't think we will. That was just sitting in our fruit bowl. Snatched it this morning. Yeah, baby's growing fast. It's crazy. Like, I had the 20-week anatomy scan last week, mm-hmm. and she was 13 ounces, and now my apps are all saying that she's like 1.1
oh, pounds. Wow.
Yeah. And then in like in 2 weeks.
Literally 6 days. Okay, yeah. You had it.
And then in the next 2 to 3 weeks, she'll be over 2 pounds.
Damn, that's crazy.
She's growing quick. It's nuts. Like, I think she'll be 3 pounds by the end of April or like beginning of May. Something wow. like that. Josh and I were tweaking out looking at it last night.
You're feeling her?
Oh, yeah. And now I am really feeling her in the past, about 2 weeks or so. I guess I haven't updated on the show, but yeah, I feel her.
I feel
She's
her.
Keeping me up. And not in a bad way, not in a painful way, but I don't
like
know.
Just a distraction of the sense of like, oh, there's something there.
Yeah. Like, and she doesn't actually wake me up out of my sleep, but I've been having pretty like inconsistent sleeping. I wake up to pee a lot. And then once I'm actually up, then I just start thinking and I like can't go back to sleep or I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then just when I'm like kind of falling asleep, she'll like move and I can feel it. And it just reminds me that she's there and I'll start thinking about her and everything. Yeah. So
damn,
I'm starting to hit that point where sleeping isn't great.
Dude, that, not gonna lie, sounds really terrible.
It is. It is. And I'm just really tired all the time. I was tweeting about it this weekend. Just pregnancy exhaustion is crazy. And I said, please don't tell me.
Sleep now. Yeah,
sleep now, because just wait till the baby comes. And so I said that on Twitter. I was like, please don't say that. And then people started responding. It was like, oh, you're going to get way better sleep when the baby comes.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Like all the responses were like, pregnancy exhaustion's way worse than newborn. Because they were like, your quality of sleep is so much better after.
I guess that makes sense. Like, you may not be able to sleep for hours on end, but when you do get sleep, it's not like you're being disrupted after you pee every 5 seconds and you're uncomfortable and your back hurts.
And yes. And
makes sense.
It's not just all on me. Like, Josh can help me. And,
right.
Yeah.
Because right now, all he does is snore and annoy you, right?
Yeah.
Today, she was like, I was going to smack him in the face because he wouldn't stop snoring.
I was getting annoyed last night. Well, I've been making him wear these little nasal strips.
Does it help?
It does help. Good. It helps a lot.
I was telling John he needs to put those on this weekend, actually. I was getting annoyed.
Oh, they're very good. Did you know they actually have tape, too, that you can tape your mouth
shut?
Oh,
yeah. I've told him about it. Mouth
Josh
taping.
Won't wear it.
Mouth taping is a real thing.
Yeah. People say it's great.
I would love to tape John's mouth shut.
Right? I know. I want to do it. But yeah, Josh ran out of the strips and I was kind of pissed last night. I was like, you need to be on it. Like, restock those motherfuckers. You better have a plethora. I was getting mad. And then I started saying last night, I was like, he was like barely conscious when I said this too. I was like, you really need to be aware of your positioning when you're sleeping. Because I got mad. He kept rolling over and I'm like, you asshole, you know you're going to snore roll over. But it's obviously he's like asleep, so he doesn't know.
Yeah,
but
he's unconscious.
Yeah.
Wait, that's hilarious.
I was very annoyed last night. I was up from probably like 4 to 6, just rolling around. Couldn't get side to side. I keep having limbs just go to sleep. And not even from circulation being cut off, even in the car. Like 3 times in the past week, my whole knee down on one side just completely like to the point where I almost can't walk out of the car.
What the fuck? Is that normal?
I don't know. Is any of this normal? Who knows?
Yeah.
The things, there's so many symptoms of pregnancy that you wouldn't ever think of. The other thing I've been dealing with lately is itchy, dry eyes that water all the time. And the more tired I am, they start watering. Like, I was texting you guys the other night and I was like, I need to take a nap. I have to shut my eyes. We were having this really funny text conversation. It was April Fool's Day.
We were like, oh my God, this shit was, we were trying to prank John and Jared and like we were texting about it and it was cracking us up. But yeah, you were like, okay, if I stop replying, it's because I went to sleep because my eyes are burning.
They were literally tearing down my face. And then Sydney was, oh my God, you guys were being so funny too. I was like, it was making me cry more. She was so funny. Janelle
that was the best.
Did a little prank on John where she decided to vlog.
Yeah, I was like pretending to vlog because I have this camera and I was just messing around with it. I was pretending to vlog, but I was pretending, I was like going up to him being like,
pretending to be an influencer.
Pretending to be an influencer. I was like being like, okay, so I just got back from my workout. I was doing like squats. I'm trying to get my butt bigger for Costa Rica. I was in the gym and I could just hear him in the background goes, the gym. Yeah. LOL. The gym.
And then I was like, shut up, John. And I was like, so anyways, now I'm going to go make a kale smoothie and put some like seeds in it. And he was like, look at me like, you don't go to the gym. And then I was like, do you think that they'll believe it though? Like, try. And he was like, no, they're not going to believe it. And then I like stopped recording and I was like, did you believe that I would put that in there? He's like, no, I know you're fucking with me. I was like, damn it.
God, it's impossible to prank that guy.
That dude is very hard to prank. He didn't believe. I was like, you really didn't believe me at all? He was like, no, Janelle, no.
But you got Jared good. Oh, yeah. This shit was iconic.
That was really funny.
We took so many videos and I like truly made him think that I was like, oh, we're going to be featured in the session.
Yeah. So I sent it a voice memo and I'm like, hey, Sydney. So remember we talked about last week that we want you to do like a little day in my life thing for the sesh. So if you can just go ahead and like record yourself just like doing whatever it is you're doing at home, like you and Jared could be in it. That'd be great. Like just give talk about the dog, like give a fridge tour. Like I was just saying stupid shit. And Jared totally bought it.
Yeah, he got into it too. He was trying pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
He told me to change our clothes.
Yeah, he told me I needed to go change my clothes because I was like in pajamas.
And you guys were having shots and watching Jeopardy.
Yeah, she actually records him and then sends it to us.
Well, he like thought I was being really lame when I called it a chocolate mint shot. He's like, what? A chocolate mint shot? And then
what was that actually a shot of?
Crown and Coke.
But and she was like, this is a chocolate. And he was like, chocolate mint.
She was like, I don't want people to know I'm drinking Crown and Coke. It's so ratchet.
Yeah, he kind of, he actually felt, he really thought you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I might have to put some overlay of these clips. It was so pretty funny. It was pretty
funny. I was dying at Janelle's when you're like, yeah, I did about 20 steps.
Yeah, I was like, I think I did like 20 floors on the Stairmaster. And he was just looking at me like.
Okay, so it's been a few hours since I last talked to you guys. I actually just got back from the gym because I'm trying to get back into shape before I go on my trip to Costa Rica.
The gym.
What?
The gym.
Yeah. What?
You working out, LOLOL.
Stop. I think I did close to like, I want to say like 20 floors for stairs. I'm going to go ahead and make myself a smoothie now. After I work out, usually I like to make myself a protein smoothie with like kale and other random like seeds and stuff. Why are you laughing at me? Do you not think I'm gonna be believable?
Saying that shit? No.
All right, so what are we doing here?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Watch your Jeopardy.
No. Okay, and what else do you have here?
I guess I've got some shots.
Why?
Some drinks.
Why, babe? Why do you have shots?
Because it's Friday.
Mine's a chocolate mint little drink, and then Jared's a...
Chocolate mint?
What's yours?
What are you saying? I don't even know. Are you still filming?
Yes.
Okay, what are you, why are you saying chocolate mint?
I want to say Crown and Coke. It's embarrassing. Have you ever seen that show with Ashton Kutcher?
That 70s show?
No. He like jokes with people.
Is it punked?
Yeah. He's got punked.
It was pretty funny.
I was dying at Janelle's when you're like, yeah, I did about 20 steps. Or
yeah, I was like, I think I did like 20 floors on the Stairmaster. Yeah. And he was just looking at me like.
It was
man,
so entertaining.
Shut the fuck
up. I was really enjoying watching those.
So anyways.
And Sydney was like, you got to prank Josh. And I was like, dude, I literally cannot move. I'm so exhausted. There's no way I can prank anyone.
It was a good time.
But, yeah, the watery eyes have been a weird pregnancy symptom.
That
I looked it up and it's an actual thing. You can get blurred vision and itchy, watery eyes.
That's so annoying.
It's, yeah, because they're kind of going right now even. Like, I don't know. It's just this one, too.
Oh, really?
This one's way leaky. This
leaky
one kind
eye.
Of starts, but really this
I
one.
I hate the word leaky. It's leaky.
Ugh, it's kind of a gross
leaky
word.
Butt. Leaky eyes.
Leaky butt.
Anyways, yep, okay, yep. So baby's a banana. How many inches is that? Like 7, 8?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Should I look it up on the app?
Yeah, look up the. I like to know what the like 90s nostalgia or whatever it is.
That's a fun
little
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay,
a good time.
Let's check it out.
All right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Can I get my ruler?
I'll just stand here and whip it around.
Yeah, this is
park.
my my staff.
Yeah, but then you don't need to have that whole time.
I like it.
Yeah, but then it's very distracting for me. Especially and it's also in advice. My viewfinder.
Listen, it's so annoying. You're going to want to do this. You do the measurement.
Okay. What is it?
It's saying that she is 10.5 inches.
Oh, way bigger than this banana then. Yeah. 10.5 inches.
It says large banana. This is probably like a small, medium banana.
10.5 Let the banana inches. Shame
Damn,
here.
She almost a foot. She almost a foot long sub.
$5 foot long.
Wait, that's pretty long. How much longer is she going to get in there? Maybe they get all their length out. Aren't
babies like 20 some inches when they come popping out?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Isn't Especially it like little Timmy out. Is 8 pounds, 26 Timmy. Inches.
Okay, this says that she's 11 to 12.5 ounces. My other app says 1.1 pounds.
Okay, that's way
so
different.
This stuff is, I mean, what that's the thing is everything, and every baby is really different.
That's like way different.
Yeah,
though.
That is.
Okay. Anyways, what about the 90 nostalgia?
Okay, it says Kool-Aid Burst. One of those little Kool-Aid
Dude,
drinks.
Those are so good. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love those. Mm-hmm. Fun.
The little twisty top?
Yeah. I always wanted
them.
My
rose
parents never
from
bought.
Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, that stuff confuses me when it does like sizes for
yeah,
like movies though, because how... It's not a tangible thing. It's in a fucking movie.
It's a cartoon. No idea. How does that work? It's so weird.
Anyways, that's very fun though. 10.5 inches.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, this app is saying 14 ounces. So, I don't know.
Let's ask her.
Yeah.
What size are you, little
camera
thing?
In there.
FaceTime.
But yeah, she's getting bigger.
She is. Well, I'm glad that you're doing well. Yeah. That the anatomy scan went well.
Yeah, anatomy scan went great. That's good news. Couldn't get everything because she was not in the right position. So I have to go back in 4 weeks, which I was kind of happy about. I get another scan. Yeah. They're stingy with those fucking scans.
Mm-hmm.
So, get to have another look-see. But it was cool. It was like lighting up her different ventricles.
When are you going to go for your other 3D, 4D scan?
Oh, I've got to decide. I'm thinking like, 28 weeks maybe or 30 sometime between 28 and 32 they say is a good time.
What are you right now, 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
22. When this episode comes out, I'll pretty much be 22.
Gotcha.
How this is so dumb. How long are pregnancies? How many weeks? 40?
40.
40 weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Full term.
Got it.
But I'm really shooting for like 39.
Really shooting for 39?
Yeah.
Didn't your doctor say you could like
Yeah.
My doctor is really after a certain.
She said 39. She said there's not much difference between 39 and 40. I'm definitely not going past. Not interested.
That
not
sounds interested. Awful.
Don't try to convince me.
So what's the latest she could come? When's your due date?
August 12th.
Okay. So after that.
Yeah. I like the idea of August 8th. That's my prediction.
8/8/22.
8/8. I think that's a good birthday.
What day of the week is that? Let's take a look.
It's a Monday. I already looked.
Oh.
Could get induced on a Sunday.
If you know what we'll do if it's a Monday? We'll do a live episode in the delivery room on the sesh.
Good idea.
Yep.
In the delivery room.
It was so funny. So I took a picture of this camera that I bought and I was like, I put on Instagram. I was like, any guesses what this is for? And I got so many responses of people like, are you vlogging Kendall's baby? You're going to be the photographer for Kendall's baby. Vlogging the birth of Kendall's baby. I was like, yes, I will be in there getting the action shot of the spread eagle.
No.
She goes, no.
I told Josh if he's going to film it, I want him to film any type of the birth, maybe like from the back, like set it up behind the bed.
You don't want any action shots?
No. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Wasn't your mom's an
we'll
action
see.
Shot? Okay, is that too much?
No. Yeah, this is crazy. I actually saw the video. My grandma was filming my sister's birth.
Yeah.
And my mom literally goes, Mom, go down and film some, like, film the down there. And she goes down there, and right as she does, my sister comes flying out, and there's blood everywhere. Like, it was nasty.
That's gross.
And I was just looking at the videos alone in my grandparents' basement, and I found it. And I was
oh my God.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me.
How old were you?
Probably like 10.
That's kind of like, eep.
Yeah, I was a little shook.
Yeah, that's a little shooky.
I had been watching births, like full frontal births, since I was like seven.
That's
eight.
So fucking weird.
Crazy. I've gone a full 24 years without it.
And I've never seen it?
No. We've
you don't
this.
Need to. It's
You've
not
never even
time.
Seen like unedited version of Knocked Up? They show a whole vagina
That's
in there.
Like barely
like the
even.
Elephant birth?
What's the elephant
have
birth?
Have you ever taken sex in high school? I had to see like a full.
No, guys. I didn't go to sex ed.
Yeah.
I didn't have sex ed. I literally did not have sex ed. And I've literally.
You your parents wrote you out?
No,
they
no.
Didn't school has school, to have
your
it.
Parents didn't have it.
Did they teach you what a condom is and what
no,
a period?
What? No, I promise you guys. And I don't think I missed that day of school.
But you went to public school. So that's yes. like part of, that's the law.
I don't know if it's different in fucking Pueblo, Colorado.
Damn.
But
Pueblo's yeah. like, nah.
They're like, doesn't fucking matter.
Maybe they were sick that day.
But you said you had it in elementary or middle school and high school?
Middle school, elementary, and high.
I didn't have it in elementary, middle, or high school. Like, I promise you, I would have remembered that. I would have remembered sex ed.
That's so strange. Oh, only 24 states mandate sex ed.
Oh.
So maybe Colorado isn't one of them.
One of them?
I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah, I remember elementary was like puberty. Middle school for me was like STDs.
Yep.
And high school was more STD.
Yeah.
Scare the shit out of you. Pregnancy. Birth. Don't have Birth. Sex.
Mine was
protection, protection,
watch
protection.
This thing come out. It was scary.
Yeah. Wow. I really missed out on.
No, you didn't. Trust me. You didn't miss out. I'll teach you sex ed.
Well, I think you need to see a birth, Curly. I got a good one. You can
should
check
we
out.
Have her live reaction on the show?
Oh my gosh, we should. You know of whose yours. Birth is fucking awesome? Oh, what's her name? I think it's Laura Clary. She's on TikTok and Instagram for the most part. I sent it to Sydney and she made Jared watch it.
Yeah.
She's a natural birth and it is.
Natural?
Wow. I mean, her vagina isn't on it, but
it's
you know.
Not on it. Oh, no, okay. It's like, on I'm surprised YouTube. TikTok allows that.
No, but it's just like her, just what she just, goes, yeah, goes through. Like,
oh
no.
My God.
Was it like positions? An at-home birth?
Oh, no, man. She's at the hospital, but it is. Oh, yeah. You she does it kind of like standing up on this like bar. You know, they can hang onto a bar.
Oh, shit. Dude, birth is so animalistic. It's fucking wild.
I love watching it, though.
You know what's crazy, too? Is like, I don't even like, I'm imagining something because I've never seen like a canal.
Okay.
I've never seen it. So like I've never seen like it. I've never seen a birth. So like I in my head, I feel like I'm imagining something that's not it.
You could. I mean, yeah. The actual like the what happens, like how much it stretches. What
it's
it looks like is
so
like,
crazy.
Like when it says crowning, like what does that mean? That means like
crowning is where the biggest part of the head is popping through.
I honestly, I can't even imagine how big a vagina opens.
Well, it has to open even wider for the shoulders.
Yeah, but that kind of slips out. Once you get the biggest part out, it all kind of just like
comes out so fucking a lot. That sound, that noise right there.
So many birds.
Was a lot.
I love it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm terrified,
never been
but
interested.
I do. Really? Wow. Yeah, yeah. No, I was interested when I was like 7 years old. I asked my mom. She was like, "Let's go to the library and get some tapes."
Miracle's life. Can't believe you. That's so your mom. I was like, sure.
Yeah. And she called my friend's mom and asked her if she could watch them with us. And my friend's mom was cool with it, too. She was like, hell yeah.
I wish I knew you when I was a kid. Maybe I would have learned how to pregnancy works then.
Maybe you would have.
Yep.
Damn, dude. It's pretty interesting stuff. Another good one to watch, Carissa Pukas. Her birth was, she just posted it like in the last month or so. Beautiful. Natural. Looked painful. She did it in a bath at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
You know just, who's like, a real really bad strong. Bitch? Oh, fuck. What's her name? The girl who gave birth to twins at home. The one that Ashley
Graham. Hers is not posted, but yes.
No, it's not posted. But just the fact that she gave birth to twins at home. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
And she was overdue.
Yeah, by like 2 weeks.
She kept them in there for a long time. Especially with twins. Like, that's pretty rare. Normally they come a little earlier, but.
And they were natural. They were naturalized.
Yeah, at home.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Good for them. I will not be partaking in the natural route.
Oh, no, I would never.
I don't feel bad about it.
No, as you should not. Fuck.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. Personally, the second I walk in the hospital, I'd be like, give me everything you have right fucking now.
Yeah. The way that my doctor laid it out to me sounded really nice. Like, she's like, you get to the hospital the night before, we'll induce you, and then you know, get in a good night's sleep the next morning, you know, wait as your labor progresses. You might have a baby by dinner.
So so that's like scheduling an induction then.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds so nice.
Sounds like that's going to be like our loose plan.
That sounds great.
I feel like the panic of like, oh, my water broke. It's 3 a.m. What do I do? Like, do I go? It's scary.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, obviously you can't help that. Right. Like, there's a possibility that will still happen.
Yeah.
But if I got my way, yeah, I would pick like this date. I would come in, check in, have a nice little meal.
Yeah.
Have a nice little sleep. Have a nice little drug. Read a magazine. You know.
That's right. Yeah. Magazine. Yeah. Oh, boy. It's crazy. It's like the people that have. Where it happens so fast that they don't even make it to the hospital. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
That like they're in the bathroom, they're on the toilet, or they're like showering before they go to the hospital and the baby's coming out, or they're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary to me.
Imagine like racing to the hospital and your water. That is like my biggest, I mean, I'm not gonna, I don't plan on having kids. But
scary though.
That is like my biggest fear is like if your water breaks at home and like it's an emergency and you have to like haul ass to the hospital.
And then there's no, once you get there, if you even make it, no time for an epidural.
No room or anything. Oh, definitely no time for an epidural.
That shit, that sucks. So yeah, we'll see how it happens. I guess I have no control over this. So
I guess
to an extent you do. Kind of.
Somewhat. Yeah, you have like, I don't know. You can make some choices, but you may not even have time to make those choices.
Correct. Yeah, very true.
Anyway, we've gone on about babies for a while. This has been your weekly baby update.
Ding, ding, ding. Next up on today's agenda, advice.
Advice.
But before we get into that, let's thank our first sponsors for the day.
Let's. Okay, so question number one.
Wait, before we get into question number one, we have a few announcements.
Oh, we do?
First announcement. We will be taking next week off of uploading.
That's correct.
So
I'm going on a baby moon.
There will be no episode going up on the 14th, but we will be back the week after.
That's right.
Also, second announcement, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. We actually upload our video portion to Spotify. Yep. It's a really cool way to watch, so check that out. And then also we have a highlights channel and a TikTok. Everything will be linked below as always.
Wonderful. All right, question number one. Hi, ladies. So I am getting married this coming June, and I have a dilemma. My dad's ex-girlfriend has RSVP'd, and I love her. I really want her to be there. I know my dad won't mind seeing her, but his new wife is absolutely crazy.
Oh, no.
And I'm anticipating her throwing a fit about his ex being there. I don't want to uninvite either of these people, but I don't want to deal with a stepmother tantrum. Ooh. What should I do?
Step monster.
Oh, step monster.
Damn, step monster.
That's right. I say you get a bouncer and kick her ass out if she throws any shit. You know?
Honestly, I don't know what your relationship is with stepmommy, but I would lay it out and be like, it's my day. It's one fucking day. Yeah. And you need to be able to pull it together. And if you can't, then unfortunately, probably not going to be able to be here. But I would do things that you can control in the sense of like, don't sit them next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mitigate the damage as much as possible.
Exactly. Like try and set it up for success or set yourself up for success for at least a low amount of stress as you can. But at the same time, I think they need to be aware that they're both going to be there and that they kind of have to warn them like you guys are both invited and I expect good behavior because it's my day. It's not your fucking day and you guys can fight it out after or whatever. But
yeah. And if you're going to have any issues, then don't attend.
Right. Then don't attend.
You're an adult and you need to control yourself.
And
period.
I think that if it's really, I don't really know the context, but you could even be like, warning, if you do throw a fit or a monster tantrum, then be like, be prepared to leave.
Yeah. Be prepared for my bouncer to bounce you out. I wasn't that close to having one, like someone at my wedding to, because my parents were going through divorce during my wedding, like mid-court, battling it out. And they sucked it up and they did great.
Yeah, I was going to say, they sucked it
up.
They
were setting it up together. Yeah. I was watching out the window totally confused.
Yeah, I was with them. They were fine.
Yeah, it was great.
And that's what you should fucking do because it's not your day and it's not about you.
That is right.
And if you're too selfish to realize that, then you should not attend.
Amen. Very good.
Anyway.
Yep. Okay. How to get over the FOMO. I'm currently 18 weeks pregnant with my first baby and kind of miss going out with my friends. Oh, I can relate. I know it's a blessing and I'm very happy to be pregnant, but I'm kind of missing my old life a little. I think this is something that you just naturally go through when you're pregnant. And I mean, you guys still invite me out. Like we've gone, you know, and I have to get a mocktail and sometimes they're lame and it sucks. Yeah. And like I try to order something cool and they're like, oh, your option is Shirley Temple.
Yeah, they're like, you're going to have Sprite and grenadine, bitch.
But it's still fun and it's not as fun. You definitely miss it. And sometimes I do get a little FOMO-y. Like, yeah. Like, what if you guys all went to, like, a concert? There hasn't been anything like that yet. But I could see how there'd be things that you wouldn't be able to partake in or maybe you don't want to go to.
That's the other thing is, like, what if you just don't feel comfortable because it's a scene where you're just not down to be around when you are pregnant? And I think that's almost just, like, again, I'm not pregnant, so I don't have personal experience, but I would be like, that's almost something that you'd have to just like understand that that's one of the sacrifices that you're making, at least while you're pregnant. Not to say that once you have the baby, you can't go out and have a crazy night again.
It's somewhat temporary.
Right. Yeah.
I will have my crazy nights once again.
Oh, yeah. You will.
I'm going to Odessa after the baby's born, and I'm going to have fun. My dad's gonna watch.
Oh my god, I'm so fucking excited for Odessa. I'm gonna die.
It's gonna be awesome.
But also one thing I feel like would be cool, and this can apply for even just people who aren't pregnant, is if you know that like a group of someone or something is doing something and you're not going, to try and make a plan on that same day that you can look forward to, so you're not just like sulking in bed and like looking at their Instagram stories being like, oh, point. FML. You can be like, oh, well, I'm still, you know, I'm doing something with my partner. I'm going out with my other friends, or like, we're having a mom date or something like that. You know what I mean?
Totally. Actually, I did that one time when you guys all went on that party bus for one of our friends' birthdays. Oh, yeah. And I just knew it wasn't going to be a great scene for me and I'd probably not enjoy it. Yeah. So I didn't go, and I went out to dinner with another friend and it was great. And it, yeah, distracted me from being sad in bed. But yeah, it is. It's part of the experience. It's something where you gotta, I think, I mean, you kind of can't have everything. It's like one of those situations right. where you are having this huge blessing happen to you. And it does come with some sacrifices. It does. And that's, yeah, it can be kind of hard though. And it's okay to feel those feelings.
Yeah.
But no, it's totally normal, and that your friends still love you. And one day you'll be back kicking again.
True that. Okay, so this next one is heavy, but I wanted to include it because there was a lot of these ones that you guys were sending. So it sounds like a lot of you guys are going through similar things. So I'm going to touch on it briefly. It's about abuse. Just a warning, if you don't want it, skip it. My boyfriend beat me up, but only once, but I'm almost positive he might hurt me one day. Thoughts? My biggest piece of advice is to have a safety plan in play. If you do decide to leave, make sure that you have a bag packed that they don't know about, obviously. Mm-hmm. I would say that if you can find someone close to you that you can talk to this about, that's extremely important to know that you're not going to go through this alone, and that if you do decide to leave, that they, that person also knows, so that they can be in your corner ready to help you. And then also we will leave resources down below. And I felt like I wanted to include this even though it's a light show, because like I said, a lot of you guys submitted this, and I know it can be very lonely of a place to be in. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I wish that there was like specific advice of like what to do, what not to do. But I would say the biggest thing is to make sure that you have a safety plan in place.
And it's such a difficult question to answer, because obviously we don't want anyone to be in an abusive relationship, but we know that there are a million reasons why someone may not feel comfortable or able to leave.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really difficult, especially with this one is so short, not knowing any of the background information. But I think that's great advice, and possibly being aware of a place where you can go that has professional help as well.
Yeah, and we'll leave some like generic resources down below, and places that you can go find like local resources wherever you live.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is really tough, and there's no one like blanket way to do this, because everyone's situation is so different.
Right.
But I would say that try and find someone that you know you can trust to talk to about, talk to them about this. And that if it does come down to leaving the situation, that you have a plan in place that you can leave it in a safe, the safest way possible.
Yes.
Okay. Here is the next one. So my dog passed away in October. Oh, I'm sorry. Age 10 and a half. And it's crossed my mind to get another, only I keep feeling overwhelmingly guilty about even considering another dog after only 5 months. I live alone and I basically lived for my old dog. Man, it's so sweet. These last few months have been very difficult to adjust to life without a dog. How do I move forward and potentially add a new member of my family without feeling guilty? I feel like so many people go through this when they lose a pet, of like, but I can't just replace that pet.
Almost feeling like, yeah. Well, you're never going to replace that pet. No. Every pet is so different.
Yeah.
But I think if your dog could talk and was a human, they would want you to be happy and would want another companion for you. And I don't think you have to feel guilty about that. I don't think, you know.
And I think you said it perfect in the sense of like, it's not replacing it.
No.
What you had. You don't have to look at it as like, oh, well, now that I have this new dog, it's replaced my old dog, and now I don't have to think about him anymore. But instead of that, it's more so like that having that companion brought me so much love. And especially the fact that you say you live alone, that's really hard to go from having someone that like you could come home to. And like, if you guys, people who out there who have pets, like you get it. They're part of your family, like 100%. So if you all of a sudden lose a family member and you're living alone, like that's really hard. So, I mean, I think that it's not a selfish thing, and and not something that you should feel guilty about, because yeah. you want to fill that void in your heart, not replace it, but help bring that love back that you had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like you yeah. said, I think your pet would want you to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and also, like, you can get it without having the expectation that it's going to be like your
no,
but like it'll be the same that you had before.
I mean, a new experience,
right?
New pet. Even if you get the same breed, it could be a totally, most likely will be a totally different personality, mm-hmm. different type of dog.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry your pup passed away. Yeah, it's very sad.
It's very hard.
Okay, how do I deal with living in a place that I don't like? So basically, I'm originally from a medium-sized town close to a big city, close enough that everything you wanted was within 30 minutes of a drive. I chose a school that was about 2 hours away because I wanted to be close to my family, and this program had a really good reputation for their music education program, which is what I want to do. I studied piano with a professor who I really love and has changed my life, except I hate it here. It's windy as fuck, ruining any good weather days. It's a small city, so it has none of the exciting city's excitement with all of the city problems, higher crime, drug problems, etc. And there's absolutely nothing fun to do. I do a 4-hour round trip to my hometown almost every weekend because I'm sad up here, but driving that much gets hard too. The music ed program closer to home has an awful reputation, so I'm stuck here. The fact that I don't even have the choice to move for the next 4 years frustrates me. Okay. Kendall and I went to school in a place that sounds very similar to this.
Yeah. Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot to do. Wasn't a lot around a lot of things. No, you know, pretty.
I've always called it Cowtown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that your best bet is to try and find people there that mm-hmm. you enjoy. And that's probably most likely going to be in your music program, because that's where you're at all the time. But if you can find friends there, or like a group of people that you enjoy hanging out with, then mm-hmm. being there is going to feel a lot less shitty. Oh, because unfortunately yeah. there's nothing you can do to like make the yeah. city better. And yeah. like you said, you can drive to can't other cities and, like, but
start some new stuff.
Actually, no, run for mayor.
Put in some several restaurants and breweries.
Some restaurants. Yeah, put in a bar. No, but I think that you kind of have to say, like, this is what I have mm-hmm. to work with. And if it you have to weigh your pros and cons. If staying in this city is, but also staying in the music program is better than leaving the music program to be in a better city, which it sounds like you said you're not willing to leave because the music program there is good and the one closer to home is bad. So if you are going to stay there, I think then you're going to have to figure out ways to make it as good as possible. And also, if you're having a hard time joining or finding friends within your program, to look at your school's like clubs and like social things that are already kind of set up for you, because I can understand that finding friends
mm-hmm.
by yourself is hard. Like, it's hard to make friends. And mm-hmm. so if you can like join something that's already established, like a club mm-hmm. or a
extra poetry slam.
Yes. Like
Bible study. I don't know.
There's so many, just there are so many different ways to find groups of yeah. things of with people who have similar interests in you nowadays.
Even that that app, you know,
Bumble
meetups.
Like Bumble Friends or something.
Oh, there's Bumble Friends too. Yeah. yeah.
But then yeah, there's tons of like meetup apps or just even Facebook groups that if you have similar interests.
It's so true. Having friends makes a shitty town a lot better.
Yeah.
Because then you guys can like bond over how shitty it is.
Exactly.
And then you find like little places, like little restaurants mm-hmm. or you know, like things that kind of they suck, but they kind of become special over yep. time. And remember, it's only temporary. You're only gonna be in school so long. And even though it may not seem like it now, you might look back at this time with fondness.
I agree.
And
it's
good
only
memes.
4 years too. I mean, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds like a lot, but it's not.
It's a small
part of
your whole life.
Good people around
life.
You. Yeah. Like yeah. if you can develop that, I feel like it's actually, it's almost like fun because mm-hmm. you're not actually in a big city or whatnot. I don't know. Yeah. That's the
no,
way
you
I
really
thought of
do
it.
Bond over like being in a small place.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you are not the only one who feels this way. So I'm sure there are people out there in your same yeah. boat that are looking for friends too, or just looking for ways to not hate where they live so much.
And if it's going to set you up for a good future, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
This one's interesting. I've had my pet leopard gecko for over a month now. What do I name her?
Shit.
Well, we don't know what she looks like.
Yeah,
so
we need a picture.
all leopard geckos look kind of the same.
Okay, fine.
I've been watching Parenthood, this old show, and the kids named the geckos Guacamole and Salsa. And I really like that.
That's so fun. Maybe... Name your gecko guac.
Yeah. Or taco could be fun.
Taco, that's so cute. Taco the gecko.
I like food names.
That's really cute. Or burrito.
Burrito. Yeah.
Burrito the gecko.
Nacho.
Taquito.
Nacho. Tequila.
Tequila.
What about Jasmine? It looks like a jasmine.
Jasmine. Jasmine the gecko. Wait, that's kind of fun.
Oh, I love leopard geckos.
They're so cute. I don't know, people. Leave your comments down below what she should name her gecko.
How about little Cheetah Girl?
Cheetah, Raven.
Cheetalicious.
Raven.
Raven Simone.
Yeah, let's go. Adrian Balon.
Oh my god. What were their names in the movie?
Fucking, oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I think their names were their real names. Maybe not. I don't remember.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. Dorinda. It's the only one I remember.
Dorinda.
Dorinda.
Okay. Hi from Colorado. I'm graduating this spring, and I'm planning to move out of my house. I've been in a long-distance relationship with my boyfriend for almost 2.5 years and want to move in together. What advice do you have on moving in with your significant other?
Don't. Just kidding.
I had a great experience moving in with Josh. But I mean, it depends on the person. It's difficult. And I wish there was more information here about like what issues you might
totally
be facing or like what you're nervous about so we could give specific advice.
Yeah.
But be patient. That's my biggest advice, is it's going to take some time. There's going to be some bumps in the road.
Yeah.
You've got to get used to each other. Living with anyone, even a roommate,
totally,
can be a little different, especially with your significant other though, because now you're most likely going to share a bedroom, and that's, you know,
you're
a
sharing
lot.
Like really personal space.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And there were stupid little things when I first moved in that were weird, like, oh, how am I gonna go to the bathroom with him?
Oh, really?
There? Like, oh god, I used to sleep with a bottle of foundation next to my bed. It's really embarrassing to admit that, but I'd literally try to wake up before Josh and like rub some shit on. It was so embarrassing. Okay, this is like 10 years ago,
dude.
But
back in the day, the way I remember, you'd put foundation, you'd be like,
oh my god, you guys, I treated it like fucking lotion. Yeah, it was disgusting. I would literally dump it in my hands, smack it under my face, and like rub it in. I was wild. I was out of control with the foundation.
Out of control with the foundation.
But yeah, things like that. And
I would find like ground rules, things that you're not willing to budge on. Like if you absolutely cannot stand if the milk carton is left out on the counter, like make that clear that you really would like that to not happen. Or like things that you're willing to work with, be patient on, but then have clear communication.
The dishwasher seems to be a point of contention for a lot of couples. How to load it, right?
Oh,
like people like want it certain ways.
Mm. Oh yeah,
Josh just does it. He doesn't like me to do the dishwasher at all because I always load it wrong.
One thing that was helpful for John and I is that we kind of like picked things that we hated cleaning the least, and we stuck. Like I fucking despise cleaning bathrooms. It's so annoying to me. I would rather do dishes 100 times over than clean bathrooms.
I'd rather do bathrooms.
I would rather clean a whole kitchen top to bottom then do a bathroom. And John, I don't think really minds doing his bathrooms as much, so he like pretty much has always cleaned the bathrooms, and I pretty much always like deep clean the kitchen.
Meant to be.
Also, but, like, maybe if you don't mind taking out the trash, then he can do the vacuuming or something. I don't know, just trying to find ways that you guys can like
cohabitate.
Make a chores list. I don't know.
Yeah, make a chores chart.
They are long distance right now.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's
right.
Kind of change everything.
I wanted to ask you guys, like, what do you think are big things for that?
Sydney, we should be asking you. You're the one who is long distance for almost 8 years or about 8 years.
Insane.
Then moved in together. What was your experience?
Well, I really don't have like a bunch of advice because I've only done it one time. So it's not like I've done it multiple times, but I'm going to say having your own space is big because you're going to want to be with each other a lot. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I was with Jared. And then if you don't have like your own established space, it's hard. Mm. And then you don't want to like hurt anyone's feelings, right? Like you don't want to be like, oh, get annoyed or whatnot.
Well,
so
it's interesting too, because me and my partner were both long distance for the first year and a half of our relationship. And I mean, you guys live in different states, right? Mm-hmm. So in a way, like you're right, like you do want to spend every moment together because you're not together
right
normally. You do kind of have to like, you know, think about that before you go into it, because otherwise you get annoyed quicker. You're going all in. You're spending waking to sleeping moment with them. You know what I mean? That's how I would think about it. Like if if, like, I mean, I'm not sure how it was with you guys, but if you guys were not together, like, you guys didn't see each other for months or years on end, right? Or was it, did you guys, like...
It was, like, once a month towards the end of it.
How do I say this? Like, limit your expectations, I guess. Just because, yeah, just because, like, again, like, you're not with them every day. You don't see them constantly. Yeah. So going and, like, making the switch where you're with them every, every single day, it could get a little, like... much
intense.
So you really want to, like, think about that before you go into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my advice.
Sydney, what did you have for, like, separate spaces? Did you guys have more than one bedroom? Or
yeah, so when we first moved in together, we were lucky enough to have a 2-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped a lot, because if he wanted to play video games, which
Josh and I had that too.
Was the hardest thing I had to understand.
Hey, you guys both had your men the games, and you guys were pissed.
I had to shut that shit down. Like, no more games.
Okay, but the game, when the height of being into it, you know, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, you can't play your video game. No, I mean, it was like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, that's I mean, some guys are like that, especially when they live on their own. Like, they'll game
and they're with their friends
all day, every
in
day.
Their game, so.
Like, hi, I'm here.
Set some boundaries.
Oh, I started... That's what I used to do, and I was wrong. I would, like, kind of make loud noises, right? And I would kind of stomp around.
To, like, ruin his gaming.
And then I And then he'd, like, look over, and I just, like, you know, give him a look. And I'm like, hey, why am I not using my words if I'm upset right now? So I just, let it get built up. So now we know. Or now he knows, too. And he's not like that anymore. I think it is, like, a phase when you're living by yourself, or you live with, like, your buddies and you all play video games.
Again, I feel like all of our points kind of go back to patience again.
Yeah.
That it's going to be a learning curve, and
you'll find your rhythm.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
You won't, and it'll be the end of that, which, I mean, it sounds harsh, but I'm just saying, like, it's a really good way to test if things will work long term or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can swing to get a 2-bedroom, I know with rent prices these days, that's really hard. But having your own space, or even having 2 spaces,
like,
where,
even a 1-bedroom where you can chill in the living room and he can go in the bedroom or something.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference.
Me and Adam fucked up in that sense. We had a 1-bedroom we had roommates when we first moved in together. So we were always, always together. Ooh. And so, like, now, like, we moved into a 2-bedroom recently, and it's life changing. So please get your own space.
Yeah, I think space definitely helps.
And even if that means, like, leaving and going on, like, just going to do something by yourself for a bit, just getting your own space.
Okay, so this next one says, I have a crush on my therapist. He's single, first of all, and he's 15 days older than me. We have so much in common. However, he's obviously my therapist, which is complicated. It is.
Mm-hmm.
He's also moving across country at the end of May. I'm wondering if I should go for it with him and tell him how I feel, or if it's a bad idea and I just need to let it go. Please help me. I feel like there's not a lot to lose by going for it, but I need your help.
Let it go. It's illegal.
I was going to say, I want to hear Janelle's take on that.
Let it go. He will lose his license.
Yeah.
It's illegal. You can't have any sort of relationship with a client outside it. I think it has to be, like, past 5 years of no contact, like, no patient to counselor contact. Yeah. Big no-no. Big. It's, like, probably
five
one of the
years.
I think so, yeah.
So what?
It's at least
This must happen to people all the time, where they fall in love with their therapist,
yeah,
or their therapist falls in love with them.
It happens, and then it becomes a humongous ethical issue, and most of the time it doesn't end well.
Wow.
And, like, the courts can get involved. It's really, really sticky. So, unfortunately, let it go.
Wow. Interesting. I've always wondered about that. I didn't know anything about the 5 years. I thought maybe if you're, like, in love with your therapist, you, like, you know,
you would think, be like, oh, as long as you agree not to be each other's client counselor, then you can go off. No, that's,
but,
like, one of the biggest,
anything?
That's one of the biggest things I learned in grad school, was, like, you absolutely cannot have any sort of relationship outside, even, like, a friendship. You really have to keep that shit locked up.
That's interesting. I always thought, like, maybe you could drop, you know, not be a client anymore for, like, a month or two and then cook it up. No,
nope. No, there's a lot of really strict. It's very, very, very strict.
Good advice, Janelle. Solid advice on that one.
You're going to have to let that one go.
Don't
just let him move.
Make him lose his license.
If he's stupid enough he should know that that's not a thing. So,
Or maybe she's worth it, that he's like, I'll
no,
just toss
but even
my
if he
career.
Does lose his license, it's not like he'd be like, oh, well, I'll just quit and not be a therapist. I don't care. I'm going to be with you anyways. Like, you can still get in a lot of legal trouble.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that
good
can be
here.
That can be looked at as, like, abuse towards the client.
because of the power dynamic
from the from the counselor.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
So yeah, it's not going to work, unfortunately.
Wow.
So sorry.
Tell it like it is. That's some good advice. Maybe they didn't know that.
No, they probably. I mean, I'm sure you didn't. I wouldn't know that unless I'd gone to school.
Yeah.
So,
don't.
No,
tell
not
how
your
you feel.
Fault. I'm not like shaming you or anything. I'm just letting you know.
Okay, I'm curious. So what if you are, you know, you're giving therapy to someone, you don't have a crush on them, but they all of a sudden tell you, like, I have feelings for you, and what do you do? Like, be like, session over, this is done? Like, listen, it's not mutual.
I think you'd make it very clear that it's not appropriate to have any sort of relationship like that, and that if for some reason you guys can't move beyond that, then you will have to terminate your work together.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Damn. And I can see how that would happen. Like, all the time you're sharing these intimate moments and that's dicey. That sure is.
Sorry, all pal. Right.
Well, good thing Janelle was here to answer that question, because I would have probably said some dumb shit.
You're like, yeah, just let them know. You have nothing to lose.
Tell how you feel.
Your you heart. Can tell them how you feel, but they should know to react in a very, well, that's nice, but
I'm flattered, but not really.
How do I tell my husband that it's time to start having a baby? I have tried with subtle hints in the past, but I'm not sure if it's something I need to flat out say. I know men aren't always the best at reading hints. How do I go about this discussion? Okay, I feel like in this situation, hints are not the way to go.
Mm-mm.
You got to be very clear. If you want a child, it's a big decision, and your partner has to be on board with you about, first of all, having the child. Second of all, timing for having said child. You absolutely want to flat out say it. Like, you need to, as soon as possible, you just start the conversation. I would like to have a baby. What do you think? And that's where you start.
It doesn't mean you have to be like, and I want to start tomorrow, but just plant the seed of like, I want a baby.
Soon.
At some point.
Yes.
And what do you think about that?
Yeah. And then you guys can discuss it. If it's the right thing for both of you, then you can kind of plan a time, but you can only plan so much.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, definitely not something you want to hint about, though. It's not like a gift where you're just like, hey, I really like this car.
Send the Pinterest board.
Yes.
Go to Target and be like, those are cute baby clothes. Eh?
No, definitely not with this situation. You got to be very upfront with having a baby. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You could surprise someone.
Just kidding.
Just stop taking birth control and go for it.
Oh, yeah. No, that she did not mean that.
No, I'm totally joking.
She did not mean that.
I swear.
Yeah, that is not a great way to go about it.
Oh, my God. No, it's not.
Surprise. So pull the goalie without them knowing.
Mm. Surprise, motherfucker. Guess what?
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Okay. Hi, guys. I struggle really bad with anxiety, social anxiety especially, so much so that it feels like it ruins my life.
So sorry. It's terrible.
It's so common. I relate to it in some sense, you know? I definitely get like bouts of social anxiety. I'd love it if you guys could give me advice and helpful coping methods. I look up to you guys so much. Thanks for sharing your love and energy with us.
I wish we had more context of what, like, specific examples that you feel this in. Like, are you afraid of crowds? Then I would set yourself up for not being stuck in those all the time, not saying yes to social events that require tons of crowds. One thing I would suggest is if you know that you have a specific event to go to or something and you can visit that location ahead of time to almost like prepare yourself for what, like, so at least you're familiar with like your surroundings beforehand. Because I think part of it is like, you've never been to this place. You don't know what it's like. Obviously, if it's like a friend's house and they're having a party, you can't be like, well, can I come ahead of time and scope the place out? That's why I'm like, I need more context. Coping mechanisms. I would. It's hard because it's like, do you have social anxiety with the people you're around? Yeah. Is there something specific across the board that affects
not
you?
Context.
You could like create a plan in your mind in case you know that like, if something goes bad and you need to leave, you have a plan of like how you're going to leave, like the excuse you're going to make up or who's going to pick you up or something like that. So that at least when you go there and you know that if it gets to be too much and you need to leave, that you at least have that in your mind of like, okay, I know that I can get to a safe space if it becomes too much.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that. If it's something that's more like going into public, like going into the grocery store, that was like my thing, is I didn't like to go around people I don't know. I didn't like to go places by myself. And so I would try to challenge myself to go in like small spurts, like just go to the grocery store and get a smoothie or like, you know, a quick Target lap and, you know, just kind of work your way up.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's hard, and just know you're not alone. So many people experience some type of social anxiety. It's very common.
Yeah. If you do see a therapist, definitely bring it up with them, because they'll be able to give you like specific pointers for your specific situation.
Definitely see a therapist. That can help a lot.
I know it's easier said than done for sure, but that would be my advice. I'm sorry I can't be more specific. All right, we're going to do a handful more, but before we go ahead and dive into them, we're going to take one last ad break.
Okay, this next one says, my mom refuses. I love that people say mom.
Mom.
So much better than mom. My mom refuses to believe the fact that I'm not straight. I've tried to come out to her and she just tells me that I don't know yet and that I'm wrong. LOL question mark. I feel like I've tried to tell her, so it's not my responsibility now, but some of my friends think I should write her a letter and maybe she would see how painful it is for me too, because I feel like I panic in the moment and I don't speak too well on the subject. Understandable. What do you guys think? Genuinely would really appreciate the advice. Thank you. Love listening to Sesh. I think the letter is a great idea. I mean, it doesn't hurt to get your feelings out.
Mm-hmm.
If she still doesn't get out of the letter, then it's really not your problem at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she is going to have to get it at some point.
Yeah, I've always been pro letter writing because you get your thoughts across without being interrupted. And you also have time to like think through clearly without getting your emotions in the way. And then you like stutter over your words. You feel like you can't get your thoughts out.
Totally. Especially with your parents.
Yeah.
It can be really hard to confront your parents about something. Like emotions can just overtake you. Yeah. You can't think.
Right. And also on the flip side, the person who's receiving this news has the ability to process it, digest it, and think about what their reaction is rather than just reacting in an emotional way.
Yeah.
I'm always for a letter.
Yeah. And like I said, if she doesn't get it at that point, it's really not your problem. You know, you go continue living your life the way you want to live it, and she either gets on board or she doesn't get to be part of it, unfortunately for her.
Yeah, I'm pro letter. I would write them a letter for sure.
Pro letter?
Pro letter. I'm always pro letter. So there's a guy that recently got hired at my job, and he has slowly dropped hints that he likes me. He recently gave me his number on a piece of paper, which I told him I lost. I'm gay, and I've mentioned this to him, but he continues to tell me that he can, quote, turn me. I've kindly rejected him multiple times, but he's president. Ooh. I don't know how else to approach this without being rude, and I'm afraid if I'm pushed too hard that he could get me fired because I'm in a team leader position. I've mentioned it to my superior, and they said there's nothing they can do without a proper complaint or an incident report. I don't want to get this guy fired, but he's slowly making me more and more uncomfortable. What else can I do? That is a horrible situation to be in.
That is. Oh, so sorry you're dealing with that. Personally, if it were me, I would go ahead and file a report, proper complaint.
I mean, that's like borderlining harassment.
So that could get definitely harassment.
And could get very much worse very fast.
Especially the fact that he said this to you and then he continues to
do it after. Yeah, the fact that you kindly rejected him, you did your part. You said, oh, I'm not interested. Yep. Thanks, LOL, bye. And he's still pushing on to you.
Yeah.
Also,
next time he does it, go right away.
That he says I can, like, that he can turn her or he can turn them is so disgusting and so, like, that is harassment.
And honestly, like, who knows who else he's been doing this to? If he's done this to others in the past, maybe he's just continued to get away with it because they didn't want to report it. I totally get you don't want to get them fired because it's like, oh, I don't want to be responsible for that. But at the end of the day, like,
maybe that's a lesson he needs to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucked.
And I think you can, I don't know how this works completely, but I'm pretty sure you can like go to HR anonymously in the sense of like, don't go to him and be like, oh, Susie told on you and said blah, blah, blah.
Which obviously that's a hard situation because there's a good chance they would figure out it was you. But
I think don't let that be a concern.
HR is there for a reason. Protect yourself.
And file a report. Because like they said, unless you really like do an incident report, it's they can't really do anything without you know, something to back themselves up with. But you have, I mean, I would go and write a report, and I think there's enough there to
and
take action.
It sounds like this person might deserve to get fired, to be honest.
That's so inappropriate.
Yeah, definitely.
God, you can turn me. Like, just no means no.
Yeah. God, some people just have no fucking sense.
It's like,
no
self-awareness. How big is your goddamn ego?
Fuck. Huge, apparently. I got into a pretty bad car accident today. Luckily, I only got a few scratches, but it was very scary. Besides the fact that my car is totaled, I feel like I'll never drive again. Do you guys have any advice on how I can move forward? any coping strategies.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
From a fellow seshi. That is terrible.
I'm so glad you're okay. Physically, at least.
Yeah.
But that's so scary.
Yeah, that's... just the car accidents can be so just shocking and so intense. I mean, whether you get injured or not, it's just such a scary thing. It can be so sudden and just...
Yeah.
Your body reacts. Like, yeah. Your body reacts.
Definitely. So I actually did go through a time where I didn't drive because I was terrified. Not because I had an accident, but I was pulled over so many times. Really bad. I went through a streak. I think I've told this before, but I went through a period in high school, my senior year, where I was pulled over like 5 or 6 times for stop signs. Like, really.
I was just rolling stop signs.
It was really bad. It was really bad. And I became really afraid of driving and afraid. And like, I kind of let it go for years. And then I was like, okay with driving for a while. But then I went through a period recently, actually, where I just like did not want to drive. My anxiety was really high. And I went to therapy. And it really, really helped. And now I drive. And I was afraid to drive by myself, especially for a while. I had to slowly like work back into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just go around my neighborhood for a while and I'd always have to have someone with me. And now I just drive by myself. But it's something you really have to be gentle with yourself about, and don't force yourself to drive, because that's going to put you in a scary situation, which I know that's not... It's a little easier said than done, because you might be in a situation where you have to drive.
Yeah.
Or you could lose a job or,
right,
you know, be impacted in school.
Right.
But I really recommend therapy. It helped me kind of like dig down into why I was so afraid of driving and what was causing the anxiety, and work with some issues that were like below the surface.
Do you remember what your therapist told you to try and like initiate the idea of like getting back into it? Like, was there something like some type of like exercise that he had you do to be able to feel more comfortable again? Or did you just
drive the neighborhood? Yeah. Somewhere off of the main roads, because my fear was police or like running into someone. Like, I didn't trust myself.
Yeah.
I was afraid, so I have ADHD. I was afraid I'd do something stupid and like run a red or something like that. So I had to really like gain my confidence back.
Mm-hmm.
And that just took time and practice. Yeah. And I've had some accidents too, not like anything too bad, but like fender benders and stuff. And those can definitely shake you up. And
I feel like confidence is like a big thing.
Huge.
I'm not gonna lie, I struggle with this at times, just because it's...
Yeah.
And when you're in that moment, it can only get worse sometimes, personally, mm-hmm. for me. And then it gets harder to drive, you know, and then you're like, oh my gosh, but I'm driving right now. But yeah, I think confidence is like a big thing, like to build that up is...
Yeah.
And it is helpful. Good to like slow yourself into it. Cause like, I mean, I got into like a little thing. I didn't have a car for a few months and I was really afraid to like drive. But it did take me a while to like really feel confident in that and driving. Cause if you don't feel confident in driving, your anxiety is going to take you off.
Yeah.
your anxiety is going to...
Puts you in all these different situations.
It does. Yeah. And it's... Go slow. Go easy on yourself though too.
Yeah, work back into it and don't feel stupid, or, you know, just give yourself the ultimate patience that you're taking this time for your own safety to build your confidence back up. But it's understandable. I think so many people out there can relate.
Also, there's a specific type of therapy called EMDR. It stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's used a lot for traumatic experiences, PTSD, and especially like car accidents where there's a specific event that shook up your life. And it can be very intense, so I would say definitely don't just jump right into this. Go talk to a therapist about potentially getting into it. But basically the idea is, in a way, like I use this term loosely, but reliving your trauma in a way that's very in a controlled and safe environment, while also doing bilateral movements. So like tapping left to right, eye movements, that's where the term really came from. But there's also like little buzzers in your hand. But it's basically a way to retrain your body to get through that traumatic experience, but then be able to work through it and move past it, so that every time you get in a car, you're not triggered back into what it was like when you were in that accident.
Great advice. This is a great kind of episode for you to do. This is really putting your education to use here.
Yeah.
You're helping so many people.
Like I said, be careful. I've never done it personally. I've seen it do amazing things for people, but you have to be very, very careful. You have to have safety plans in place. You have to really trust your therapist. Mm-hmm. So don't like jump right into this. But I'm just saying that if like, you know, down the road, you still feel like you can't get over this, that's something to look into. EMDR. Helpful. I've heard it work wonders for people.
Yeah. I've heard it's really great too. I've never done it myself, but very interesting how it all works.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. We're going to take one more.
Okay. Let's do it.
How to handle a friend that you can't trust to keep your secrets.
Don't tell them your secrets.
I was about to say, can't tell them. Unfortunately,
nope.
You don't tell them. You find someone else to tell your secrets to.
Yep.
Or you just don't tell anybody.
You don't have control over them telling your secrets or not, but you have control over whether the fact you're going to tell them your secrets.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. There's no way you can like guarantee
can't change
they're not
them.
Going to. No.
You could. I mean, you could tell them that you feel like they're not trustworthy and express that.
Yeah.
But that does not mean jump right into telling them secrets as soon as you do, because they're probably not going to learn that fast.
No.
But yeah, maybe start with like small secrets. Little things and see if they can keep them.
Have they are so I'm assuming that this person's already proven that they're not able to keep secrets. Like it sounds like you've already had an experience where you told them a secret and they fucking told someone else or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately you can't make them be good at keeping secrets. That just might not be, they could be a good friend in your life for other ways, but maybe they're just not there to serve you as their secret, as your secret keeper.
Yeah.
That's really interesting that you said that, because like that's true. You do have different friends for different purposes. Like not different purposes, but you have different friends for different things.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah, maybe they're a great friend to go to when you're feeling sad, to cheer you up and to have a fine night with. Or maybe there's someone you can always count on to, you know, do a favor for you if you're stuck in a sticky situation. But, you know, different friends are there for different reasons.
Yeah. And some people just are not good at keeping secrets.
No.
But again, I feel like you could tell them how you feel.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to, and then slowly over time, maybe you can build that trust back up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need to be aware that you're feeling that way.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, don't tell them anything right now.
No, nothing that, or if you do tell them something, I mean, tell them knowing the fact that there's a chance it could get out. And if you definitely don't want it to get out, then don't tell them.
Yeah. Maybe, like I said, test them with something small and stupid.
Luckily,
you
have
about.
The control over the fact of whether they find out about your secrets or not.
Amen. All right. That was pretty good. I think we did some good advice.
I think so, too.
You were the queen of advice.
Well,
I'm impressed with you.
Thanks.
No, you are. Seriously. Especially that one about the therapist, the love. Mm.
Well, that's just, No, can't do that.
Was really intriguing
therapist.
To me. I feel like they could have a good TV show about that. That could be a
good plot line. Many books written about it. I read so many books about people like having really like sexual experiences with the therapist and like what happens afterwards. It can lead to all kinds of trauma and horrible things. And just don't
that
do
sounds
it.
Awful. That sounds awful.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. Mm. Just a reminder, though, neither of us are licensed professionals. So
no, we are not.
Take this with a grain of salt and seek professional help if needed.
Yes. As you guys know, we are very pro therapy. We have both benefited greatly,
greatly
from therapy in our
greatly,
own
greatly,
lives.
Greatly.
Yeah. All of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Shit works. Not
good
easy
stuff.
Though. You have to commit. It gets a lot of times it gets harder before it gets better. And I think that's where people lose it, is because they'll try for like a month and they'll be like, they're not fixing my problems. I'm like, dude, you gotta open the wound, clean it out. It's gonna burn, it's gonna sting before you can sew that bitch back together.
Could be
years.
Years. Longer.
But you know what?
Plus.
It's always worth it.
It is worth
true.
It.
Yep. Even if you're making little progress along the way, it makes a big difference in the end.
Sure does.
All right, guys, that was a nice time. Thank you for opening up to us and trusting us to give you some, like we said, unsolicited advice, which I've learned it doesn't just mean.
Okay. That's what I thought. But then I read in the comments like, oh, no, Kendall's right. It definitely means that you didn't ask or that you don't know what you're talking about. Like, but I was like, OK, so then Google fucking failed me. I don't know, people.
I think
is it unsolicited
that makes
or not?
More sense, because I was thinking like a solicitor coming to your door.
Right. You don't want them.
Yeah. So it's unsolicited. I didn't come to you for this.
Right.
A solicitor comes to your door.
But they did come to us for this. So it is solicited.
So it's solicited advice. They're asking for it.
So then Google fucking failed
me. I think unsolicited is more like, you know, someone's pregnant and you go up to them and you're like, just wait till the baby comes.
Make sure you have a snoo, blah, blah, blah.
Or
you're like, oh, I didn't ask, but thanks.
Or breastfeeding's the only way.
Oh,
that's
God, don't even get me started with that.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Please.
Thanks for listening to our solicited advice.
Thank you so much. We love you so much. And we'll see you on the next Ash. But until then,
keep it fresh.